Steady in the boat. Steady in the boat.
I'm absurd.
Stop piggybacking on what you said!
Good students and damn fine journalists. That's what we are here at Alligator Sports. Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Monday, April 19th, 2010. I'm your host, Adam Berry. Joining me today, a third to fourth round pick, Bobby Colovi.
This is three in a row for me. Hopefully, this one's filled a little bit more with you guys and not so much me.
And then undrafted free agent, Kyle Maestri.
That means I get to pick which team I go to.
Exactly.
I'm in control there.
Exactly. That's the situation you want to be in. You want to be in charge of your own fate here. We're going to talk about the NFL draft today. It's sort of an NFL draft show. We're going to talk a lot about the Gators heading to the draft. Some of the other guys do a little bit of projection on some non-Gators related stuff. Draft coming up this weekend. Correct, starts Thursday night, right?
Yep.
Somebody back me up on this on ESPN. So
first round only, Thursday.
Right.
We're going to do a three-day spectacular.
Right. Much like our 100th episode spectacular coming up in a couple of weeks.
It's going to last 3 days? It's going to last 3 days?
No. But the NFL draft will. I can promise you that much. And Gators will probably be taken on all three of those days. Is Tim Tebow going, by the way? Have we settled this or not?
He doesn't know yet.
He doesn't know. That's
Jimmy
great.
Jimmy Clausen is not. He wants to spend time with his family, including his grandpa, who's, I guess, like, can't travel too far. So he will not be at the draft. Right. So that leaves one open spot for Deebs.
This is a pet peeve of mine. Spending time with your family on draft day instead of... No, I'm serious.
This is about you.
This is ridiculous. Some franchise is going to give you millions of dollars to come play for them, and you can't just show up to the draft and take a jersey, shake a hand, and smile for the camera. Bring your family with you.
Man,
that's fine. Nobody's against that.
No.
I think that's allowed last time I checked. Like,
there
I just don't
tables,
understand
yeah.
how Joe Thomas can go fishing with his dad because they do that every draft.
Right.
You know what? You can do it every draft but one. Every draft but one. It's not going to kill anyone. You only get drafted one time.
That's true. Or you only don't get drafted one time, as some other Gators will be finding out this NFL draft as well.
That's true.
So let's go through sort of the draft, eligible draft, you know, potential Gators here. I guess go around the room here, all three of us, sort of what round we see them going in, provide a little analysis along the way. Let's start with, we're going off an ESPN list
By
here.
Analysis, Adam means guesswork.
Oh, completely guesswork. Yeah, quote-unquote analysis yeah. that you come to us for. We're going to go off this ESPN list here, which sort of has them ranked by grade and, you know, the sort of position ranking. So we will start with Joe Hayden. I don't think anybody is going to say he's not going in the first round.
Right.
But let's go around and see sort of where you see him fall and where you see him landed.
I'm going to put him actually middle first round. I think he's kind of taking a little bit of a hit. After that 40 time, and although he did run a better 40 at pro day, I don't think he fully recovered and is back into the top five, maybe even top 10 talk that it was before the
right.
year. But he's still the best cornerback there is in this
ever
in this draft, and I think he'll still fall easily in the first round. I don't have a team.
Hold on. Let me get your little thing.
Yeah. Let me get a.
How about that, Bob? You want the first round order? You're talking the team, like the mid-teens.
You know,
you're talking the Seahawks, Giants, Titans, Niners, Steelers.
I don't think there's been too much talk of it, but the Dolphins could take him. They don't have too many good corners, so that wouldn't be an awful pick for them. And then we got our boys Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, who have Joe Hayden go to the 49ers at 13, and then that was Mel Kiper, and then McShay has him going to the Texans at 20.
Yeah, I don't think he falls to 20 at all.
No.
I definitely don't think he falls to
20. There's got to be one team before that needs a cornerback. And once you start getting to that mid-range,
right.
he's going to be the highest value, the best guy on the board. And if you need a cornerback, you need to take him.
Right. If teams are smart, they'll take the best available player. And at that point, I think it's going to be him. I think he goes in the high teens of the first round. Or like the high, like 12 to 14, 15 range. High teens. Kyle?
Wait, what? 12 to 15 is the high teens?
Like the low teens.
Okay.
Like a higher pick,
okay.
but a lower number.
Gotcha.
I hate the NFL draft. all the numbers games just confuse me.
Just full of ambiguities.
Right.
All right. I'm going to say, yeah, I agree with you guys before anyone said anything. I was going to say, between 10 and 20, also known as the middle, as Bob's called it. So I don't know. He'll go somewhere in there. I don't think it's – if the Texans – if somehow Kyle Wilson goes before him, I think, and the Texans haven't picked yet. I could see them trading up to get one because everything I've heard is they really need a cornerback.
Yeah, they do.
So I imagine they either want Kyle Wilson or Joe Hayden, kind of whoever's on the board there. So I don't know. I think Hayden, though, will still be the first cornerback off the board. So I'll say 10 to 20 in the first corner off the board.
Do you think we'll go around with this? Do you think 10 sort of the highest possible, 20 is the lowest possible? Like, that is literally the absolute range for him?
No. I think guys slip randomly sometimes. You kind of don't know what's going on. Like, Ray Maluga, I think, last year's a good example. Yeah. Like, I mean, maybe, you know, nobody thought he was going to go super high, but he certainly slipped far for what people thought. So I don't know. Players slip all the time. You don't really know what happens.
Yeah, I mean, and he could go higher. I mean, the Browns were interested.
The Raiders still pick in the top 10, right? So you never know.
Well, no. He didn't run a good 40 time, so he's off the list.
It's still a wild card.
He's not nearly fast enough. The
Browns are at 7. They need all the help they can get, but they have so many needs that they're probably going to be taking the best player available.
Yeah.
But they did have their coach and their president at the Pro Day. Most likely looking at, Joe Hayden. So he could go there.
All right, let's move on into Marquise Pouncey. Another first round guy.
They have him in the first round, and I see him being one of those. He's going to be in the bottom half or the bottom third of the draft just because centers are not really high value type guys, but he's the best one, and not even every year, but. Every other year, I'd say on average, a center slips into the first round, and he seems to be that guy. So it's going to be probably someone late who needs a center. That's what it is that they need a center. Otherwise, he'll fall into the second round. But I think he drops somewhere into a very nice, cushy job at a playoff team as the starting center.
Starting center, right away?
Yeah.
Right.
If you're going to go for a center in the first round, you expect him to play right away.
That's true.
Everything Bobby said is true, and I agree with. But I'm just gonna make some stuff up here. Make some bold predictions. I say a team reaches for him, so I say he goes like around 15 somewhere.
Wow.
And people will criticize that pick, but somebody will like him, need an interior lineman, and accidentally pick Marquise Pouncey. So.
Well, I mean, he's the best interior lineman in the draft, right? Is that
from what? It depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, no. He's the best center. The guy from Idaho. Mike IUPAT.
Name with several vowels in the first part. Yeah.
He's the guard that's going to get to go in the first round. Like his guard falls into the same starting position. It's really easy to get a guard or a center or draft someone at tackle who's more talented and move him to guard or center.
Right.
So those guys aren't too highly valued in the first round. But it's like I said, every other year or so, it seems a guard and a center both get to go into the first round. And those two are the lucky candidates this year.
There you go. I think he falls somewhere 18, 25, and that sort of late, like, you know, last third of the first round. The Steelers are picking at 18. That's where Kiper and McShay have him going. I'll say it again. That is perfect. That he will just turn into the best center of all time if he goes to the Steelers.
Protecting Ben Roethlisberger is a tough job these days.
Ask his bodyguards.
On and off the field, yeah.
No, they do a great job for him, man. Marquise Pouncey could be his wingman on the field.
Who knows?
He's got great wingmen off the field.
Who knows what the Steelers are going to do now? Mock draft was done before the whole Santonio Holmes and Ben Roethlisberger mess and how bad everything seems to be going there. Their needs might be changing a little bit, but
they're going to draft Tebow.
They need God right now.
Yeah, and Tebow.
Find God.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, but I mean, they could use a center. The Steelers, the Colts, and the Patriots always seem to draft someone you don't really expect sometimes, so I wouldn't be surprised if he goes there.
But then they turn them into like the best, the best prospect ever. The Steelers just have great linemen historically. Alvin Faneca was the center for them for like 27 years. I think Marquise Pouncey, if he goes to Steelers, that'd be
he'll be the next Alvin Faneca.
Yes, he's gonna play for 27 years as John Madden is gonna say his name just like every couple of seconds. Alvin Faneca, Faneca. Moving on, Carlos Dunlap, the ever controversial Carlos Dunlap. He has taken quite a hit since the Sugar Bowl SEC Championship.
It seems as though Derek Morgan from Georgia Tech and Jason Pierre-Paul from South Florida, the only two defense ends not taking hits right now. They're considered the top two. I think Derek, I don't know which one, Jason Pierre-Paul maybe?
They have him going to the top.
I don't know. They're both right there.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's kind of a big group of tight ends defensive ends who are considered pretty much the same type of player, you know, fringe players who either, you know, undersized and overproduced in college, or they are, you know, huge, big talents like Carlos Dunlap and underproduced.
Yeah.
So he could be pretty much if a team, I mean, the Raiders always, maybe in the second round, I think Dunlap definitely goes second round. I don't see him getting into the, back into the first round at this point. But I think the Raiders are a good choice. Any team that loves potential is a great place for Carlos Dunlap. If a team's only looking at what a player has done and how hard he's worked every single down, I don't think Dunlap goes. He was a guy who's been known to take off plays. And as big a freak as he's supposed to be, he really didn't dominate the college level right. like many expected him. And especially since he's highly thought of as he is now, he still didn't produce anywhere to the level that he's supposed to be.
Right, I would agree. I think it's funny to see how far he's fallen. I remember when he was like a top 10, like he was, you know, such high potential.
If he produced, even if he did a little bit better or about the same as 2009 or 2008, I think he stays in that. But he dropped off. He really didn't do much. A lot of times he was a non-factor. And, I mean, considering that the Gators were supposed to have two of the best defense and pass rushers in the nation last year, they did not get a lot of production out of those two. And, I mean, that's at some point, if you've got the talent, you have to produce. You have to do everything on the field. And he just never did. He just kind of kept, I don't know, stayed right there where every once in a while you watch him make a play and you're like, wow, that like he's way like better than everyone on the field. And the next play, you just wonder what happened to Carlos Dunlap.
He's what those draft experts call low motor guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a motor.
I mean, there's plenty of players. I mean, Mario Williams was questioned about his inconsistency of effort on every play. But Mario Williams got drafted with the first overall pick, and that's worked out pretty well. Not saying he's Mario Williams, but there are players that have been criticized for their work ethic and have done fine. Mm.
Kyle, where do you see him?
All right. The big problem here is that the Panthers don't have a first-round pick. From what I can tell.
Seemingly no.
And they don't pick till the 16th pick in the second round. Is that right?
16, yeah.
All right, so I say they trade up to the top of the second round or very end of the first round, and the Panthers are going to take him there. That's my prediction.
At the U.S. Pro Day, the Panthers defensive end coach worked about a half an hour with one-on-one with Carlos Dunlap, so... It's he seemed to like him. He liked what he saw. Thought he was a very coachable player. Wasn't too concerned about the DUI incident. That would be a pretty good place for him to go. And as you know, trading or not bringing back Julius Peppers obviously leaves a huge hole at defensive end for them.
Right, and that's his hometown team, and he's already expressed interest in wanting to play there. So just seems like a good fit for everyone. And so I'm gonna say they trade up and take him.
Yeah, I think he's definitely into the first, second. If he gets past the top 7 or 8 picks of the second round, I think somebody has to snatch
just
him.
Just based on
talent.
If a player expresses interest in coming to you, you should just always think it'll be easier to sign this guy than someone else who doesn't want to come there. If someone's saying, I don't want to play for you, you're just going to make things a lot harder on yourself by trying to draft him and negotiate with your contract, do contract negotiations. And even later on, if he doesn't want to be there, he might not want to stay once that contract's up. So if you've got to choose between a guy who doesn't want to be there and a guy who does, even if the guy who doesn't might be a little bit better, go with the guy who does or does want to be there.
Yeah. All right, next guy, Brandon Spikes.
I on the last podcast, I said he goes no higher than third round. I'm sticking to it. I think Brandon Spikes is going to be a good NFL player one day. He's got to conform a little bit more to the defense. It seemed at Florida, he did whatever he wanted on the field. There was a play going on, and then there was Brandon Spikes doing whatever he wanted to a lot of times, it seemed. And he made it work. I mean, no one's questioning that he didn't produce on the field because he was great. But this last his senior season didn't go anywhere near what he would hope for or what anyone expected of him. He was injured. He, you know, had the eye gouging incident. And, I mean, he had really big games at times and sometimes just okay. I don't know how much that was because of the injury. And then he ran the awful time at U.S. Pro Day where he couldn't break the 5-second mark. And I think he took a big hit. And this is just not a deep class at middle linebacker. And I think he falls a little bit. And, I don't see him going higher than the third round.
I say he goes the very end of the second round. So I'm going to differ from Bob. But I don't think he goes, like I'll go under pick 20. Like, 20 to 32 in the second round, somewhere in that range.
Okay, anybody in particular see him sort of gravitating toward anybody he's worked with?
No, I mean, if you look at those teams there, there's some pretty good teams. Maybe, like, Arizona might take a shot on him after losing Dansby. Or the Patriots might take a shot on him just because of the relationship they have kind of with Florida already. Or, you know, I don't know, teams like that. The Colts and the Saints are both good. They can kind of afford to take a chance on a guy who could potentially, you know, help them win right now. But his upside isn't, like, maybe as high as some other guys. Right. So, I don't know. I think I'll there are a couple teams in there I could see him going to that wouldn't be too far of a stretch.
I'd see him in Baltimore behind Ray Lewis.
Sure.
There'd be nothing more fun than a Ray Lewis, Brandon Spikes.
As a Giants fan, if they can't get Rolando McClain in the first round, I wouldn't mind the Giants maybe trading down or trading up from their third pick and trying to get him, because they got rid of Antonio Pierce, so they have a big opening there. And I wouldn't mind, as a Giants fan, I wouldn't mind having Spikes in the middle of the field for them.
I think he's a late second round guy, definitely. You said no earlier than the third round. I think you're going to be close in there. He's going to be in like those last 10 picks of the second round, but I don't know. The thing about Brandon Spikes, I think we all think he's going to be a good NFL linebacker. It's just that he hasn't necessarily shown, you know, like the upside, like Kyle said, to be that right now. But I think, like, does anybody think he's not going to be at least a very good, or at least like a consistently good NFL linebacker?
I think he'll be a starter in the league at some point. So I definitely think he'll be a starter.
Bob?
No. Like I said, I think he's going to be good, but I don't think his stock's real high right now. Right.
I mean, just because you slip, that doesn't mean you can't, like, recover. Like, Siler slipped so bad when he slipped into, like, what, the fifth or sixth round? And he's played for the Chargers and played pretty well. Like, I don't think he starts for them, but
he's getting the rotation. Obviously, I mean, it's not as easy when you're that late round draft pick, but you can still prove yourself in the NFL by, you know, producing, by doing everything that the coach asks of you, by making plays when you give him the chance. And I think Siler's done that, right. And he's moving up. He's a very, very good player at Florida, but, you know, he had some size issues, some speed issues, and teams didn't want to, you know, take a guy who didn't seem to have a lot of upside once they got here, once they got into the NFL. And he's getting to the point where they'd be willing to start him, or at least another team would be willing to take him and play him, because he can play in the NFL.
Right.
All right, let's move on. Everybody's favorite, the water cooler discussion of the ages, Tim Tebow.
I'm not going to lie, I have no freaking clue. Like, I've just been hit with so much, like, misinformation that I don't know who to believe. Because, like, you have, like, extremists, like, on both sides, and people in the middle, and, like, anything's in play. Yeah. Like, I just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, he could be, like, the second quarterback taken, and he'll go in the, like, the high teens, or he could be the fourth H-back taken in the sixth round. I can't remember an NFL draft prospect ever this controversial and this just, like, widely discussed. And just, like, nobody has any clue.
Right.
But I think, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I think some team is going to be so afraid of missing out on Tebow, and some, like, dumb GM is going to be scared into thinking, well, I can't not draft Tebow, that they're going to take him in about the early third round, or somebody is like a Panthers type is going to trade up for him foolishly and take him in like the second round, and then just all hell is going to break loose.
All right, so you're going to go on record here first? What are you saying?
Man, this is the moment of truth, because no matter what, like, I'm going to be horribly wrong. Like, you know, that's the thing. Anybody who goes on record with this, is unless somebody knows, like, is inside somebody's locker room, I'm going to say he is the fifth one taken, meaning he goes in the early third round.
Early third?
Yeah.
Early
third. Sixth one
bring
taken.
Bring up the second round draft order for me. Please, sir.
We're on the big board? On our main view screen?
Yeah, on our main view screen. All right. I say that Tebow slips no farther than the 21st pick in the second round, which is the New England Patriots. And I think they will take him. But I think he will go before then.
Hmm.
I'm going to say he goes...
God. Now, remember, Patriots have the 44th and 47th pick.
Oh, they're actually, screw that. Yeah, he's going to go right there. 12th pick. I didn't see that pick.
Wow.
The Patriots have the 12th pick in the second round. That's where Tim Tebow's going.
NFL.com right now has him going to the Patriots at the 47th pick. So they used their second round pick.
They didn't talk. They didn't consult me.
Clearly the 44.
I really like the idea that one of these teams trades up into the back end of the first round and take him. Jesus. Just because so many teams don't want to be the team. They have such bad quarterbacks and have, you know, tried out other quarterbacks and have failed miserably. And they don't want to be the team that needs a quarterback and passes on Tebow just because they were scared of what they were going to get.
Right.
I could see. I kind of like the Bills maybe doing that.
I really like the Bills for him. I think that's kind of where he ends up.
The Bills, or even I kind of feel like the Eagles might be a choice just because I don't think there's been a lot of talk about it. But they just got rid of McNabb. Who knows about what's his
Cobb
face?
And Cobb.
Yeah, Cobb. So I mean, I think the Eagles might consider it, especially in the second round there. But yeah, I don't think he. I agree. At least I'll say the first one you said, the 21st pick in the second round, the Patriots' third pick. If they've picked two guys, or I guess that'd be their third pick of the draft. Yeah. They'd already picked three times in the draft. If they get there with a fourth pick in the second round, at that point, you've gotten pretty much everything you'd want in three picks, and Tebow's still sitting there. I think Belichick takes him.
Yeah, I think that.
I don't think there's any way he falls behind that.
I agree.
And
I mean,
the Vikings are another team that could jump up or could, you know, drop down a little bit after the first round just because, well, who knows what Brett Favre's going to do. And Brett Favre might be there for one more year at most, I'd say. Mm. So they need to start thinking about what they're going to do at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think he falls definitely no further than that. Second pick in the second round, New England pick. And then I'm going to say, you know, I think that whoever takes him, I think you kind of need a coach that is, like, established. And, like, I think coaches who are afraid of getting fired are going to be afraid to pick him.
I agree.
Because that's a situation where he might need a couple years to develop, and he might bust completely, and he could lose you your job.
Yeah.
So I think Belichick obviously is not going to get fired. There are a couple other coaches around the league where they're pretty well cemented. You can't really fire them. Andy Reid's not going to get fired.
At this point, I don't know what the Eagles organization. I think they've gotten rid of McNabb. That's the problem for why they haven't won Super Bowl. Next person to blame if they don't win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years is Reid. Mm. And I think although I don't think he should be on the chopping block, I didn't think McNabb should be on the chopping block either for them. So I don't know what the Eagles are doing. As a Giants fan, I hope they just mess up the entire Philadelphia organization.
Brad Childress could definitely get fired, though. Yeah. So I don't know about that Minnesota.
He can. I kind of like the idea that the first or second year coach who's, you know, he's got a few years, you know, like they're feeling pretty happy with him.
He's in a great spirit.
He's in a great spirit where he's got a couple years to do something. And once he starts feeling the heat, if he has Tebow sitting on the bench, you know, throw him out there in your, like, last year when you're on the hot seat to see if that works, saves your job.
If that works, he's the savior.
He can again be the savior. Or, someone who's not getting fired anytime soon.
I'm not so sure young coaches are going to want to tie their future to Tebow. Like, they're, you know, like, how Tebow develops is probably going to be whether or not he gets to stick around.
That's true.
We'll see. But then again, coaches don't always get to call the shots.
Exactly.
So we'll find
GMs
out.
Like looking to make money.
GMs, anyone who wants money at this. I mean, that's the big problem is, though, that everyone thinks Tebow's going to be this huge seller and everyone's going to want to come watch Tebow. But Tebow's not going to be ready to play right away.
Right.
The only role he's going to really should have is a very similar role to his freshman year at UF, where he's mostly a running option. And, I mean, at this point, he can throw a little bit more than he did his freshman year. But he really shouldn't be thrown onto the field as a starting quarterback. And for, you know, organizations hoping to bank on drafting Tebow, I think that's a poor option and just setting him up for failure. That's why I don't think the Jaguars should be anywhere near him, is because he would be drafted as the savior and, you know, keep that franchise in his hometown, you know, not let them move since there's so many rumors with them, you know, going to be getting moved soon. That you would have to throw him in when he's not ready to play yet, and he's just not going to be—he's not ready, and it's going to be obvious, and he's going to be a failure right away.
But the thing is that people don't really care about that. If you can get a chance to sell Tebow 15 Jaguars jerseys, that's going to make quite a bit of money. That's going to save a couple jobs for a little while. I think, because I said early third, I think there's that 8th to 10th picks in the third round. The Bills at 8, the Jaguars at 10. I see no way he falls past them. I could see those two trading up to sort of the times where you guys had him going, sort of like that middle second round. Like, you know, where if the Patriots don't take him with that, whatever, their second pick in the second round, mm-hmm. maybe they swoop in right after that so he doesn't get to the Patriots' third pick in the in the second round. So let's move on from Tebow. You'll be hearing about him for the next, well, leading up to Thursday, and then that's pretty much all they're going to talk about Thursday. Like, whoever's get taken, you know, in the first couple picks, and they're going to go right back to Tebow. He's easy to talk about. He brings in the viewers and all that stuff. So get ready for more Tim Tebow talk. But we're going to move on to Aaron Hernandez, tight end, who has also taken a bit of a hit lately, seemingly.
No, apparently only Marquise Pouncey for the Gators has helped their draft stock since the end of the season. Everyone else seems to, I guess Tebow did.
Maybe.
Yeah, everyone else seems to have taken a hit. Aaron Hernandez, I don't even know why he took a hit. I'm not sure what he did, or he hasn't done most, like, drills, because I think he had a little bit of an injury. And even then, it doesn't make sense. I don't know why he's falling. And even though he has a little bit of an injury, two of the people that ESPN has higher than him, Gresham and Rob Gronkowski, or however you say it, from Arizona, both had big injuries and had to miss most of the season last year. So it wouldn't even make sense that, like, you know, Aaron Hernandez is taking a hit because of injury concerns, because both of those guys had season-ending injuries. So I think Aaron Hernandez should be right up there with Gresham and should be taken in the first round or early second round. But at this point, I think the tight end position, it's Gresham going to be the first one taken. And then I really think it should be a toss-up over who goes. I like Doran Dickerson from Pitt. He's kind of a small guy. He's really small, actually. Very undersized. But he was by far the most athletic tight end at the combine. And I think he's just one of those type of guys you put in the slot, and he's a little bit of a mismatch type player for anyone who's trying to cover him. Just because of his speed, and he does have a little bit of size on some
cornerbacks, because he's built like a wide receiver.
Right. He's built like a big wide receiver, right. Which is, I mean, that was the whole point with big wide receivers, is that how are these small cornerbacks going to cover them? Yeah. And, I mean, I think he goes right there with them. I like him. I would want him on my team. But Aaron Hernandez, I think, should be right up there with Gresham, late first, early second, but I think he goes, I'd say, bottom half of second still.
All right, Kyle?
So he goes in the middle 10 picks of the second round with no analysis, really. Yeah. I don't understand why the shuffling's been happening, but I think probably he's the third tight end taken, if I had to guess. I think he'll pass Pitta, and then I think Gronkowski, from what I understand, will go in front of him. So I'll say third tight end taken in the middle of the second round.
It was the Chicago Tribune, right, that came out with a ranking.
Right, he was like the eighth.
Draft rankings, and he was the eighth tight end. And I'm looking at this, and I don't even know how you can get him anywhere near it. I mean, Anthony McCoy has some talent. I understand that from USC, but he's still not good. He just failed a drug test. He's done. Like I said, I like Doran Dickerson. Ed Dixon, really, I mean, he's good at Oregon, but not as good as Aaron Hernandez. What is that? We got him down to, what, 4, 5, 6. Clay Harbor from Missouri State is at 7. And Garrett Graham from Wisconsin. I don't know how you can even think about putting him anywhere near some of those guys. He's not even close. I'm really offended at this point that the Chicago Tribune can somehow find a way to put Aaron Hernandez, who's arguably probably one of the best tight ends last year in college football, especially with Gresham out, that I don't know how you can even put him that low. Yeah. It's not like he's got bad size or anything.
I don't even know. Yeah, how you can go down. Well, you're getting into Jimmy Graham territory, and he's got red hair, so that's never good. But no, Jimmy Graham is like 6'6", played for Miami, a basketball team also, and caught a lot of touchdowns. But when you're getting into that territory, yeah. I don't know. I can't agree with that. So
I think he's the third tight end taken, goes in that late second round. Since I said Tebow would be the sixth, I'm going to say he has to go in the late second round, so I can stay true to myself here, because I said in the long run, Tebow goes in the early third.
I mean, one of the big
contradicting myself a lot
big,
here.
One of the big things on him, big knocks, is that he's not a very good blocker. But nowadays in NFL, you don't need your tight end. You don't need like a tight end who can block all the time, because a lot of them are starting to spread it out a little bit more. And like that tight end who can spread out and get off the line of scrimmage and have to be covered by either safety or move an outside linebacker out of the box.
He can definitely be a Dallas Clark type. I mean, he's like. A little bit like he's on the smaller end of tight ends. Obviously, yeah. He's going to be a pass catcher, not a blocker, but you can split him out into the slot if you want. You can do a lot of different things with him to get the ball in his hands, and he's going to be a pass catching weapon. He can get behind the defense. I think he could be that type of a tight end. Probably, you know, it's tough to say anybody's going to have the amount of success that Dallas Clark has had, but I think that he's that type of a player.
Right. I would agree. Let's move on to Major Wright, safety, who is. I guess you could say he's probably improved his draft stock a little bit. One of the rare Gators to do so.
Yeah,
he ran a really good 40 at the combine.
Right, because we went from thinking he was what, like fifth, fourth, like maybe late fourth, early fifth round guy.
It was questioned why he would ever, why he thought he would leave early.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was sort of, if you run a good 40 time, you'll sneak into the second round possibly. I still like Major Wright. I don't think he's a second round talent right now. I think he's a fourth to fifth round still. Same thing. I think he'll get drafted in the third round, maybe even fourth round, where he probably belongs. But I think his NFL success depends on what type of coach he gets and them trying to get him back to, as we discussed earlier, when we liked him as that hard-hitting safety instead of this a guy who's attempting to be a ball hawk. And I think he got kind of forced into that role because he replaced Reggie Nelson, who was at Florida. And I think he was kind of like, you're the free safety. You need to cover all this ground. He doesn't have that ability, but I mean, he showed early on that he can put a hit on somebody. I think if they get a coach who gets him back to that, gets him back to, you know, instead of going for the pick, putting the big hit on the guy, I think he'll be a good safety in the NFL. But I still don't think he should be anywhere near the second round. That's just a waste of pick. I late third, early fourth.
Okay, Kyle.
All right. I like Major Wright also, although I don't like him to have a good NFL career. I think he will not have a good NFL career. And I also think that he's going to go at the end of the second round.
Wow.
I don't think that he should, but I think it's where he will. The safety pool is really not deep at all. And two of the guys at the top, like, you know, Eric Berry's going to go in the top five, top 10 at the absolute worst. And then Taylor Mays is another guy who's, you know, probably going to go in the first round. And then after that, Major Wright could be the next safety taken, or he's going to be in the next couple safeties taken. So I think that'll put him at the end of the second round, even though he probably should not be there. So
you think a team gets desperate and they reach for we need a safety. We just got to take Major Wright.
I mean, there could be a point where a team is picking at the end of the second round, wants a safety, and he's the guy
he's
on their
literally,
board.
He's literally the top left. So it's more of a lack of depth at that position than it is him.
Right, that's
the
thing.
High
and,
on him.
I mean, apparently he's impressed some people.
Earl Thomas from Texas.
Earl is very good. Yeah, I forgot about him.
Well. Then you get into Nate Allen from South Florida. Then Major Wright, they have as the fifth best safety. Guys like T.J. Ward from Oregon, Chad Jones from LSU, and Rashad Jones from
Alabama.
Georgia.
Oh, sorry.
The Joneses,
So there's some guys that are talented around them. It really is not a very – I think it's one of the more talented – from recruiting standpoint, it was a very talented group of safeties that were coming out of high school that really didn't fully live up to their potential. And it's coming to the same thing where, like, you know, you have these talented guys and you want them because they have that potential – but you don't know which one you should take. And I think he kind of falls into that with Chad Jones, who probably should have stuck to baseball, and Rashad Jones from Georgia, who was a very talented player coming out of high school and was good in college, but never great.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at that list, I mean, like I said, Eric Berry and I would think Taylor Mays are going to go in the first round. Earl Thomas is also really, really good. I forgot about him. So he's probably going to go. He could go first round or top of the second round.
Right.
And then after those three, it's
still,
you know,
a
he's right there.
Time,
he's,
yeah.
what, the
yeah.
second ranked guy after that? Or
yeah.
He's, so I think he could be the next one taken even and go at the end of the second round.
That's certainly a possibility. I think he falls late third, I'm going to say. Late third round. Not a whole lot of analysis. He can't, like... He probably should go in the fourth, like mid-fourth round. Like, that's kind of like the talent and potential he has. But, again, I think teams get desperate. It's not a deep safety pool. They reach for him. I think top, like, late third would be reaching for him. But it's where he's going to end up, I'm going to say. So let's move on to Riley Cooper.
He's another guy who's helped himself,
that's
actually.
True. There have been a couple. These sort of mid-range guys have helped themselves more than everybody at the top just took a huge hit except for penalty.
Riley Cooper really helped himself with his Sugar Bowl performance and his week at the Senior Bowl. Apparently he had a very good week there.
Yeah.
But I still don't like him. I mean, he's a good blocker. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get a tough kid who blocks well. I was never overly impressed with him at Florida, and right now, Adam has it highlighted that they have Cooper ahead of Marty Gilliard. Who I mean, I don't know. Marty, Gilliard were just so good in college.
Yeah.
I can't see him not being better than Riley Cooper. And it's just because Riley Cooper is, I mean, they have him, this is 6'3", 220, and, I mean, he can run, like, what, a 4.5 or something. Yeah. He's got the size and the speed you'd want for someone, but I never liked him. And I think he'll go into the fourth round here, but I don't think he'll be good. I think he'll be one of those type of guys who, like, tries football for a few years, doesn't work, goes to baseball where he fails again.
Comes back to football.
And, yeah, he winds up doing something like Canada or something. I don't know.
Huh.
I just don't. I hate Riley Cooper as a person and player.
Kyle?
Yeah, you know, it sounds kind of bad to say that, but, I mean, in the true spirit of our, you know, trying to be unbiased and say what we think for real, if we're going to, you know, say, like, how much we like a Ryan Stamper or, like, we really like a Major Wright or something.
Gotta be honest.
It's kind of fair. Yeah. Like, I don't like Riley Cooper. I mean, most people, I feel like, have covered Riley Cooper, don't like him. I feel like there's a lot of stuff that he says where he's way too arrogant for his own good. I don't think he's willing to put in the work that he's going to need to be a successful player. I think he thinks he's way better than he is at most things, including all that stuff he said about the baseball team where he was terrible. I watched him play baseball. He was awful. So, you know, I don't know. I think he has a lot of the tools, though. He's big and fast, and he can block. So teams are going to like that. And I think he's going to go at the end of the third round, last 10 picks, even though I don't think he should. And I don't think I think he flames out very quickly in the NFL. So.
All right, I'm going to say he goes early fourth. I don't have a team in mind at all, but I think he falls in that early fourth range. I don't like him either as a potential pro player. I think he has, like, he's big right now, players, you know, in teams like that, but I think they see his effort. They see his, you know, his attitude, and I don't know.
After pro day, someone was asking him, like, you know, what did you think about being out here and stuff? And he was only there really to catch passes from Tebow. He's like, you know, like, I was just having a good time. Like, I already did all the stuff I'm about. Like, so, like, were you trying to send any messages to teams? Like, no, I don't care about that. If you want to draft me, draft me. Like, real, like, cocky, like, saying, like, and, like, pretty much saying, like, it'd be a loss if you don't. And then I said, like, you know, what do you offer to, like, teams? And he's like, you know, I'm big, I'm fast, I can catch. Who doesn't want a player like that?
I'm handsome. What do you want?
Yeah, seriously. It's just that type of attitude. And he really, like, yeah, he had a good season for, I mean, I wouldn't even really. I mean, he was the only wide receiver for the Gators last year, and that was mainly because Tebow just like targeted him and Aaron Hernandez, and not really look at the other ones. And I mean, the other ones didn't really. Other wide receivers didn't do too much to prove themselves to Tebow, but still,
that's because other teams were focused on taking away David Nelson and Brandon James.
Yeah, that was the only. I mean, he continued to go to him. And there was games where he had really bad games, and they had a couple really big games, which I think helped his stats look good.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was a very good player for most of his college career, and I don't think he will be a good pro player either. So.
And it's funny, Leo, when you know, we're around these guys like a lot. Like, obviously not personally, like, we don't hang out with them or anything like that. But when you talk about, like, character issues and stuff, and, you know, like, Dunlap's, like, flagged for, like, character issues, and then... To me, it's like, I think I would flag Riley Cooper for character issues before I flagged Carlos Dunlap. Like, I know Carlos Dunlap got arrested, but just from my time around them, which is, you know, somewhat substantial as a member of the media, although, you know, I don't claim to know these guys personally, just my personal gut feeling is that Carlos Dunlap is a much better character guy than Riley Cooper. And it's funny how, you know, when you don't really know someone, not to say that I do, but these organizations certainly don't, then what do you got? You got a police file, and that's about, you know, that's about it.
Exactly. So, he's got the wide receiver attitude where I'm the best player. Like, you need to get me the ball. I'll make all the plays as long as you throw it to me. He's got that attitude. And
but I think it's worse because I don't think
he doesn't deserve that type of attitude.
Well, I don't
like
think
with
he's
T.O. Chad Ochocinco, they've all done something to prove like they deserve to have that type of attitude. Where if you get me the ball, I'm gonna make plays. Riley Cooper doesn't deserve that.
But
right? He doesn't do
it. I think all those guys like care about making themselves better and putting in as much work as they can to be really good. And I think that's the part that's missing. It's like, give me the ball, make all
there.
The plays. But if you don't think I'm good, then screw you.
Yeah,
that's what I think his mentality is. Not like, if you want me to do something, I'll, you know, like, I'm willing to work as hard as I can to, you know, do, like the exact opposite of Tebow's attitude is right. Riley Cooper, as far as I'm concerned. Right. So.
Yeah. I like what you said about the character issues thing in terms of thinking, oh, this guy has a police record. This guy got a DUI before, you know, the SC Championship game or whatever. Like, he is a character issue. No. Right. He had a bad night and made one big mistake. Right. Exactly. Riley Cooper has a bad attitude. He right. has a bad character. There's a difference between, like, a bad character and having one slip up. Right. And I think one guy is getting penalized for that, and another guy is somehow moving his way up the draft boards despite it. So,
right.
Weird to see.
Interesting, huh?
It is.
Yeah, no, I mean,
it's full of contradictions.
The defensive line coach from the Panthers, he had a quote where it's like, you know, like, with that type of character stuff, if you're a good guy, you're a good guy, even if you make a mistake. But if you're a bad guy, you're just, you know, he's like, you're just
a bad guy.
I can't remember the exact word. It was something even funnier than just saying bad guy. He's like, and you know, when it comes down to it, you're just, yeah, it's turd. He's like, you're a turd, then you're just a turd. And I mean, I would not put Carlos Dunlap in the turd category. I might be more willing to put Riley Cooper in the turd category.
Right. No, I'll do it. Great. Riley Cooper is a turd. I'll do it right now.
You got a year of being unbiased. I've only got one more day, so I'm not too worried about this point.
I'm willing to say it. I'm willing to put my name out there to say Riley Cooper is a turd. He's turned the punch bowl for an NFL team drafts him. Let's move on to Jermaine Cunningham.
Speaking of character issues.
listed outside linebacker, potentially.
Outside linebacker?
Yeah, that's what he's too small to be playing defensive end. So they're thinking he's a 3-4 type defensive outside linebacker.
I hate when people do that. I really
buy that he doesn't have a position, so he can't be playing defensive end because he's way too small. He'll get eaten up unless he puts on 20 pounds.
There's nothing I've seen out of Jermaine Cunningham that leads me to believe he can play linebacker, though.
It's solely going to be that 3-4 right. outside linebacker where you're rushing all the time, but you're far enough from a defensive end where you don't have to have that big size. You use your speed more so than and your size advantage.
What's really fun is that Jermaine Cunningham weighs, according to ESPN, 11 pounds less than Carlos Dunlap.
But it's the frame. Dunlap, you can see, can put on weight.
That's true.
Right.
And he's got really, I mean, it comes down to he's got real long arms to keep people away because he's much taller than Cunningham.
But
and
Dunlap,
Cunningham just looks like he's done. He's as big as he's ever going to be. I'm 266 seems like he's put on a lot of weight since the offseason because I'm pretty sure he's usually about 240 or 250. So I don't like Cunningham in the NFL.
I think he falls
to the sixth round.
Wow. I don't either, but I'm just saying the thing is, like, Dunlap is also praised for his speed and his ability to, you know, be a quick pass rusher and disrupt, you know, that. And then Cunningham sort of doesn't get credit for that just because he's not quite as big when he's probably, you know, he proved in college that he could do some of the same things and that his effort, I wouldn't say it's great, but it's better than Dunlap's has been, as, you know, in his career.
Jermaine Cunningham is really a consistent performer here,
right.
in my opinion. I think he did. He had a much better career than Carlos Dunlap, if you ask
absolutely.
Me. I just don't. If he doesn't have, if they're projecting him to be an outside linebacker, then I'm not on that. I'm not with that. So I'll follow Bob. I'll say sixth round. Also,
it's the Jordan Reed thing for me. Like, you're already changing his position. His career can't be that
right.
charmed.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of defensive ends and a lot of defensive ends that get switched to outside linebacker and do fine. That's where they belong in the NFL, especially with the 3-4. But Cunningham, I don't like him at either position,
right.
and I'd prefer him at defensive end, but I just think he'll get eaten up at defensive end.
Right, that's how I feel. Like, I'd prefer him at defensive end. Right. Nothing I've seen out of him says, like, oh, I think he can make that switch,
exactly.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to say he goes late fifth, and he's out of the league in 5 years.
Right.
Possibly less.
I think way less than that.
So, how long are you giving him?
I don't know.
How long is the rookie contract?
Three. I'll give him 3 years.
I'll give him four. He signs a 1 year deal with somebody.
Right, I'll see you in 3 years. We'll settle this up.
All right. Pistols at dawn. We'll settle this in 3 years.
Continuing with character issues?
Yeah, speaking of character issues, before we get to a guy who is the opposite of character issues, Brandon James.
Brandon James doesn't have character issues. What are you guys talking about?
He's a saint.
Yeah. I think someone makes a big mistake.
Someone
makes a huge mistake.
No.
Made a huge mistake. They say, hey, this guy can be a difference maker at return in the return game, and they reach for him in the fifth round because they think they overvalue the return position.
I think
where you can find one of your better players and put him back to return punts, return kicks. I think someone makes a big mistake.
I made a huge mistake.
And drafts Brandon James and tries to play him at running back besides wide receiver? Because he can't be a wide receiver in the NFL.
I say everyone plays it right, and he goes undrafted.
I hope.
I say he goes undrafted, for real.
For the NFL's sake, I hope he goes undrafted.
I'm going to say seventh round, somebody taking a flyer on a potential kick returner.
Yeah, I can see that, too.
But God help them if they do, because he shouldn't be in the NFL.
No.
All right, let's move on from him, then. Ryan Stamper, the opposite of character issues.
He should be in the NFL.
He should be in the NFL, but could not
he won't be.
Yeah.
I'll go right now. He goes undrafted. I've been saying it for a while. It breaks my little heart that Ryan Stamper is not going to get drafted. I think he gets picked up. I think he goes the Antonio Pierce route. I am being dead serious. Antonio Pierce did not get drafted, got picked up, and is now became one of the best middle linebackers in the league for a few years. And I think Ryan Stamper can do the same thing. He's just got to get into a spot where he can actually make a roster and prove on the field, because that's where he's going to prove that he belongs, is on the field. He's not big enough to play middle linebacker, not fast enough to play outside linebacker, and hasn't been able to do anything this offseason because of injuries. But I think Ryan Stamper is a very good player who knows where everyone on the field is supposed to be, which is exactly what you want in your middle linebacker. And when Spikes was missing those games, you couldn't tell. You could not tell that one of their best players, if not the best player on the defense, was not there, because Stamper filled in that middle linebacker, and there was nothing, and he had great games in all of them. So I think Stamper should be in the NFL, and I really hope he gets on a team as a free agent that will allow him to become a great a linebacker, but I just don't think he gets drafted.
Yeah.
Can you bring up the seventh round?
The seventh round?
Yeah.
So you just want to see if the Patriots have a seventh
round pick? I actually
do
want to see the Patriots have a seventh round pick. Yeah.
Well, everyone has several.
Okay.
Right here. All right. That's it.
The Patriots will
Yeah.
The Patriots are going to take him in the seventh round because... Okay, first of all, I don't know how you can't fall in love with this guy. I fell in love with Ryan Stamper while he was here. He's the greatest guy in the entire world. And
five seventh-round picks.
And there's no way Urban Meyer is not going to give him a ring endorsement. Meyer loves the guy. And Bill Belichick has shown that he doesn't necessarily care about speed or size at the linebacker position. He really wants leaders, and he wants smart guys. That's exactly what Ryan Stamper is. And I can't see how the Patriots don't grab a flyer on him with one of their 100 seventh-round picks that we're looking at. So,
I agree. I think that's where he lands. Also, by the way, if he's there with the 253rd pick, the third-to-last pick, and my Bucks don't take him, and they take some, like, if they take, like, Brandon James or, like, some scrub they have no business taking, I'm going to quit the Bucks. If Ryan Stamper's still on the board and they don't take him there, and the Patriots have passed up on him with their 5 seventh-round picks... I quit being a fan of the NFL.
Yeah. See, you should never care too much about the draft for your team, because as I've learned, maybe this only really applies to Giants, but I think it applies to most. Your team will never draft the player you want.
No, never.
They will never do it.
No.
The Miami Heat drafted Dwayne Wade. that was the guy I wanted. Remember it all worked out well.
I'll say this for sure. The Knicks certainly have never drafted a person that I asked them to.
You know, like Danilo Gallinari? I love Danilo Gallinari.
One time the Dolphins drafted Ted Ginn Jr. with the ninth pick.
The Giants are all about wild guesses, I assume. At one point, I'll remind you, they had O.C. Umeniura and Michael Strahan at defensive end positions, and Justin Tuck as a backup, and they drafted Mathias Kiwanuka as a defensive end in the first round. Why? I don't know, but they did. They'll do it again, I'm sure. Rolando McClain will be sitting there perfect. They keep saying we want a middle linebacker, and they'll say, no thanks, we'll take some random person with the 15th pick, or trade down right as I have to go to work, as they always do.
All right, well, I'm going to say Stamper does, in fact, go in the seventh round, and I guess David Nelson? Go to David Nelson here?
Seventh round.
Undrafted. Sorry. I like you, David Nelson. I wish you all the best. Hope you do well. Yeah, I hope you land with the team or something.
How about this? I'm going to say it's seventh round, but he does not make the roster. He gets cut before the season starts because...
He can't play in the NFL. He's got
no
shot.
That's my point. He can't play in the NFL, and they'll realize it. But he's 6'5". He ran a pretty good 40 time, supposedly. Although I'm sure if someone's clocking him those first 10, 20 yards, it was really bad. Because he does not look like he gets started, but he's tall and has long legs. And I guess he can... Gazelle his way to a 4-4 something.
Is that a verb?
And I made it a verb.
If we had a flag football game tomorrow, and you had to choose between playing against David Nelson or that one kid that we played against.
I'll pick David Nelson.
Yeah, we'll play against David Nelson.
Because David Nelson can only beat us with jump balls, where that kid can turn a corner and fly.
And beat us with jump balls.
Yeah. So I don't – I say he gets drafted just because he has some things that people like. And they're like, hey, maybe we'll bring him in and we can work with him. It'll be good. And then they get him. They're like, all right, cut him.
Yeah.
For someone like Ryan Stamper.
Undrafted. He can't play in the NFL.
No, he's not going to play.
I hope he coaches. I hope he becomes a good coach.
He's going to be a great coach.
Good.
I'll say that. He's going to be wonderful with the media, and everyone's going to love him.
Nice guy. Good guy.
We don't have to worry about these next two, do we?
I don't think we need to talk about them, but if anybody wants to get a good laugh in, Wandy Pierre-Louis, anybody?
Undrafted.
I would say the Raiders take him in the seventh round.
He's real fast. The Raiders take him in the fifth round. No, he's going on.
If Wandy Pierre-Louis makes the NFL, I'm done with the league. They don't know how to
football.
Yeah,
anymore.
No. They don't know how to evaluate talent. I can understand you taking him as a recruit and trying to make something with him in college football because he's fast.
And starting him
as
a 2007 season.
I would lose most respect for all NFL scouts if they think that Wandy Pierre-Louis can play in the NFL. There's only so many times you can say he's got so many skills and so much talent that he has to be good. But he doesn't. He doesn't. He can't tackle. He can't cover. He can't think for most part.
Can't think.
I don't want him anywhere
needs
near.
To improve.
I don't want him
thinking.
Anywhere near my football field.
Can't my think. Football field. All right, well, no other Gators are going to get drafted. I mean, if Wandy can't get drafted, then no other Gators are going to get drafted. So we're going to move on here. All right, we're going to round this show out with two quick segments. Since we are all fans of NFL teams, although I've just now promised recently that I could quickly lose that allegiance if stuff goes wrong.
I might be giving up on the NFL.
Right, you might be giving up on the NFL. All right, so we're going to go around the room with our NFL teams that we claim and talk about some
three
of the best.
Three different ones.
Three different ones, which is always very fun. And sort of our best and worst draft memories, specific ones with them. Start with Kyle.
All right, you want my best or my worst?
Let's go with your best.
Both are pretty obvious. Well, I don't know. Well, I was very happy when the Dolphins took Jake Long. A lot of people, it's not sexy to take a left tackle with your first overall pick, but the guy is a monster, and he's done really well, and I was super happy for them to take him with the first pick. I thought they did the right thing. Mm-hmm. When your team has the first pick, it's a little bit of a gut-wrenching thing, because you know, you don't want them to mess that up. You only get the first pick so often. So,
much of the Lions.
Right, and then you get the first pick every year. Yeah, I was glad they didn't mess it up, in my opinion. He's worked out well. He's been really, really good for them. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely my good job moment to the Dolphins.
And your bad?
My bad can only go to one man, the guy who's just traded, Ted Ginn Jr., who I feel like I actually don't hate as much as most Dolphins fans, just on the Facebook statuses.
The vitriol
I've been yeah,
is
geez.
Incredible. people have been wishing bad on his family and like his life and his everything. I don't know.
Those people must have thought he was going to be good when he got drafted. Like, I just knew the whole time exactly who Ted Ginn Jr. was. When your coach introduced your ninth overall pick as your team's new punt returner and not wide receiver, you know that he's going to be fired shortly, and that player's going to get traded in a couple years for a fifth rounder. That's exactly what happened.
Would you say Ted Ginn was who you thought he was?
Absolutely. I mean, that was real. That was just a bad draft because Adrian Peterson went, I think, the pick before us or two picks before us, who I was just praying for. So then at that point, Brady Quinn was falling. That was the Brady Quinn falling draft, yeah. And I was like, talking myself into Brady Quinn. I was like, you know, I hate Brady Quinn, but all right, we're going to take Brady Quinn. It's a foregone conclusion. I'm like trying to look for some good things about him. And then Ted Ginn comes off the board, like the most shocking pick of all time. So I couldn't have been more upset.
All time? More than the
yes.
the guy last year,
Darius Heyward-Bey?
I think Bey is more shocking.
I think Ginn was pretty bad on the shock factor
here's
scale.
My only problem with Darius Heyward-Bey is he was already
your
too
only problem?
My biggest problem, I guess.
Okay.
He was too highly valued as it was because of his speed alone. He wasn't that great of a player at Maryland, so he was already too highly valued as it was. And then they took him about 20 picks before that already bad value for him. They picked Lewis Murphy in the fourth round, who is by far a better wide receiver than Darius Heyward-Bey. It was just that I'm sorry. Heyward-Bey, it was because Ginn was about rightly valued to begin with, and then he got jumped up. But Hayward Bay was poorly valued, then poorly drafted.
Okay.
Here's my defense in the shock value department. First of all, the Raiders are capable of anything.
That's true.
So you had to be like, all right, like, am I totally shocked that the Raiders just did something stupid? Whereas the Dolphins, everyone thought they were taking a quarterback. Everyone. And they didn't go that way, and they ended up taking Ted Ginn, and it was just like, what the heck just happened? Like, everything just seemed like, everything went shattered so fast.
I don't know. The Darius Hayward Bay thing was outrageous. We watched
it. Was a worse pick. Oh yeah, I just don't know if it was more shocking to me because Al Davis made it.
That's true. Al Davis sort of gets that built-in like senility factor. Like, right. He can do whatever he wants.
Just do whatever. Yeah.
I want to say I threw something when they took Darius Hayward Bay. I just threw something across the room. Like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. All right, I'm going to go with my best and worst for the Bucks. You got to go quite a ways back to find the Bucks one that I'm actually happiest about because it was the best first round of all time. Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks. Just, you know, they were the Bucks for the longest time. They made the Bucks, no longer the Sucks. And that was 1995 in the first round. But more recently, Cadillac Williams in 05 with the fifth pick. It did not work out particularly well. There was a point where Ernest Graham from Florida was running the running back position because Cadillac Williams was always so hurt and ineffective. But at the time, I was like, look at this. The Bucks took a good skill player who has potential to be an NFL star. Go, Bucks.
And then he had a great first half his rookie year.
He had a rookie of the year campaign for about eight games, and then his legs and his body just betrayed him, betrayed me, betrayed the Tampa Bay area. So, thanks, Cadillac. Good work on that. Should have taken Ronnie Brown.
Who's much less injured. Yeah.
Significantly less injured.
It's kind of funny because one of the big knocks on some of the best running backs in college is that they've had too many carries in college. They're just too worn down by the time they get to NFL. And they have fine careers. Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams split carries all through college, yet those two have had, in their, 4 years in the NFL, have just been completely filled with injuries.
Yeah, they're always injured. And that's another pick I was super upset about, which I was wrong because Ronnie Brown's really good, mm-hmm. Regardless of injuries or whatever. But when the Dolphins took Ronnie Brown, I was like, I was livid. I just remember saying, like, how do we pick the wrong Auburn running back? Like, how do we not take Cadillac Williams? And then
maybe you knew something about his knee, about his legs. Bobby, you want to bring this home?
Yeah, the happiest I think I was with the Giants draft, which kind of says a lot about the Giants draft, was when they took Jeremy Shockey in the first round. Mm-hmm. I was super excited about getting Shockey and having that tight end who's going to be a star. And
he's a fun guy.
After that first, second season, things kind of didn't work out so well. But I was really happy at the time. The last 2 years, the Giants have upset me, mainly because I'm a Rutgers fan. Rutgers is in New Jersey. That's where the Giants play their home games, in New Jersey. I figured, hey, you got Kenny Britt. You need a tall receiver to draft to replace Plaxico because everybody knows that Eli throws the ball high, so he needs tall receivers out there. And they instead draft Hakeem Nicks, who had a pretty good rookie year. I'll give him that. But
it was really good.
Great first year. Fantasy superstar.
I wanted Kenny Britt, and I didn't do it. They'll never do it. And then the year before, I've never been high on Brandon Jacobs. I never liked him. I don't want Brandon Jacobs as the running back. I think he's a soft 260-pound running back. And I love Ray Rice. I love Ray Mel. I want him so bad. And yet, Giants decided we don't want Ray Rice. We don't want to do anything for him. We don't want to trade up just a couple picks instead of getting Terrell Thomas, who's done great things at cornerback, let me tell you, and get a player that's now probably one of the top five running backs in the league. So, great job, Giants. Mm. Just draft Rutgers players, except Anthony Davis this year. Stay away from him.
All right, well, let's round this out with our Reggies and Kyles. We're going to do it a little differently, since I know at the very least mine are related. We're going to do them at the same time. Like, I'm going to do my Reggie and Kyle at the same
time. We're all going to speak at the same time. Listeners are going to
All they're going to hear is
Bob's
going
to win there. All
right, so, like, I'm going to give my Reggie and Kyle and so on around the room.
Oh, my God.
You're setting this up just because of who you're Reggie.
No, exactly, yeah. We've done it before, actually.
This is nothing new.
Dude, there's been 98 episodes. There is nothing that's never been done on this show. We've done everything.
Can we do Mount Rushmore again?
Maybe for the 100th show, the 100th episode, spectacular.
Oh, a Mount Rushmore of podcast episodes?
I like that, yeah.
All right, we're doing that.
Yeah, look forward to that.
We'll give you, the listeners, our favorite four podcasts that we've done.
Next Monday, look out for it, or at some point next week. All right, I'm going to give my Reggie and Kyle, since this is NFL draft time, I'm going to give my Reggie to Mel Kiper Jr. and my Kyle to Todd McShay. There can only be one, as Highlander used to say. There can only be one. And that one is Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper is the old school. He's been around forever, seemingly. He always looks the same. That hair is magnificent at all times. He's always the same. He's always giving. He's always there for you. Every you know, April, you come around. Mel Kiper's there to give you the projections, the mock drafts, the mock 2.0s, the mock 3.0s. He's always there. You can always count on Mel Kiper.
He's up to 4.0.
4.0 now. And then you got new school, young gun, Todd McShay. Coming in, he's just trying to steal the thunder. He's trying to be all controversial and stuff. It's like Tim Tebow's a clown or whatever. You know, Mel Kiper does that a little bit too, calling him an H-back and stuff. I'm never a fan of the two-man system like this when you got two guys who essentially do the exact same thing. And, you know, it's like, what's the point of having both of them? Never a fan of that. And I like the old school. I love Mel Kiper. I grew up watching Mel Kiper on the draft. I can't like Todd McShay for this reason. So I'm giving him my Kyle and Mel Kiper for always being there, my Reggie.
I'll go next. Sure. My Reggie is going to go to the Rams, who apparently are going to pick Sam Bradford. And although this year is my new thing. I actually came around on drafting quarterbacks first overall. I used to hate it. I never liked it when they picked a quarterback that I didn't like, and I just said, why don't you draft something you need? But now I feel as though you should only ever draft a quarterback with the first overall pick. Because that's the only position that can make big enough difference that if you have that first pick, that's what you should do. And if you have the first pick, you need a lot of help, most likely at quarterback. And that's what you should take, unless you just drafted one last year, or if you don't think any quarterback is a franchise-type quarterback. If they think Sam Bradford's that guy, they take him. If not, always trade down. That pick's worth a lot of money, a lot of and a lot of value if you just trade down just a couple spots and get the position you need, which most likely will be there, while someone else will be desperate enough to take that quarterback with the first overall pick, and you don't have to spend as much money. You get more picks and possibly maybe a veteran or two that can help you later. And I think it's just always better to trade down or pick a quarterback, because the quarterback position is the only thing worth, in my opinion, the value you're going to pay, value that you're going to use at a number one spot.
It's like a nice sentiment, but at the same time, and I just realized I didn't do my worst pick I've felt about my team, and it's for this reason. The Bucks with Josh Freeman, it wasn't the first overall pick, but it was that first round pick where they think, God, we have to draft a savior. Like, there's so much pressure on that guy when you're drafting him as, like, the savior when his, you know, really, it's like Kyle with the Dolphins and Jake Long. Like, you know, you draft him, you start building a team, you know, but you draft what you need. Like, you don't feel pressured to draft the quarterback. If you need it, you take it.
You question your scouts and your coaches at that point, not so much the player, because if you think the guy's the franchise quarterback, you need to take him. You can't hope that you get lucky with a fourth-round, fifth-round pick, although they have proven that they can be good quarterbacks in the NFL. You kind of feel lucky when you hit on those things. Whereas if you got somebody with all the talent and all the skill to be a great quarterback, it's up to the coaches and the scouts to make sure that is the guy that's going to do it. And, I mean, if you miss on a guy with the first overall pick because he's not good, like Jamarcus Russell, you question your scouts, you question your coach, you question everyone who's going into the decision that that guy's a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I don't totally agree with Bob, but I think the point he makes about if you're not going to take a quarterback there, you should try to trade down is a good one. Yeah. Because he's right about the amount of money you have to put in that. You ideally just want to be paying that type of money to your franchise quarterback and pretty much no one else. And you can get value, pick up another draft pick, maybe another player. And chances are you're going to get the guy you want a couple picks later, or, you know, somebody who is pretty comparable to that. So I do pretty much agree that you should try to trade down, although obviously there's going to be situations where that's not possible. It takes two teams to trade. So I don't know. It's not a total bad theory, but something I always talk about is there's not going to be a franchise just because you're the best quarterback in a certain draft doesn't mean that you are a franchise quarterback.
Right.
Or, like, you're thought of as the best quarterback in that draft.
Right.
I mean, if you just look at drafts, like, some drafts aren't going to have franchise quarterbacks in them. There's not enough to go around.
I still don't think that Stafford is a franchise quarterback.
Right.
And, I mean, I would not, if I was the Lions, I would not have taken him. I'm not sure if I feel Bradford's a franchise quarterback, although I like him more than I like Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I would take him number one. But, like, I mean, Matt Ryan, people sold me on Matt Ryan. I think I would have taken him just because of his makeup. Mark Sanchez, I did not. I like Mark Sanchez better than I like Stafford, but I still don't think he was the franchise. I did not think that he was the Sanchez. But I think it takes a special player to be a franchise quarterback, and you can find one or you can develop somebody in your system if you're confident in your coaches. But I think that position is the only one worth the number one pick.
I think it's important that coaches try to identify players that are going to be good in their system. Yeah. I think way too often, either the coaches don't know what the hell they're doing, and so they'll just try to adapt. They're not confident enough in their system to do that. They'll just try to pick up whoever is hot, you know? Or, like, they're just too quick to follow, like, the trend of, like, thinking, you know, everybody says this guy's the best, so mm-hmm. he is. But I think if you look at some of the really good personnel people in the league and the good coaches that can identify personnel, and, you know, maybe their guys that they're picking up that are successful for them wouldn't be successful somewhere else. But that doesn't matter. They need to play for you. And the NFL and football in general is so based on the system that you're running, and different guys are going to be good in different systems. So I think that's really the key to the whole thing. It's not just, like, just grab Jamarcus Russell because everyone says he's good. Right. Or, you know, just grab players like the Patriots do, like the Colts do, like the Steelers do, that you know, like Bill Parcells does, mm-hmm. that can play in your system.
I agree.
I think that's the key. And that's really, that, you know, that's not super easy to do, but that should be what your goal is, at least, I think.
I agree.
But I guess my Mikhail is going to go to anyone who drafts an offensive tackle in the first 10 picks this year. There are no good offensive tackles. They're all projects. None of them are all that great.
Well, I want to say the Bucks are projected.
That's unfortunate for you.
Oh, phew, defensive tackle.
Yeah, no. If they take Jared McCoy, they're good. If you get McCoy or Sue in this draft, you're lucky.
They're going to take Russell.
Russell Okung, or however you say it, he's a project as well. He was not very good at Oklahoma State, but he did well at the combine, and he shot up the draft boards. And I they have a lot of them projected in the top 10 because teams want an offensive tackle. Yeah, you're pointing Anthony Davis, who's from Rutgers. I told the Giants not to draft him. He's everyone said before the draft that he should go back to for his senior season, and he probably should have, but he came out this year because of how weak the offensive tackle class is, and someone who's a 2-3 year project from being a starting offensive tackle, a good starting offensive tackle, could go in the top 10 because of how weak it is. And I just don't think any of them are valued in the top 10, and you're just going to have a Robert Galloway situation where you're trying to figure out how to make do with one of your top picks who you can't just get rid of right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Bring it home.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do we'll do my Kyle Jackson first. So I'm going to give my Kyle Jackson to any team who takes a receiver in the top 10. I know sometimes you get a Larry Fitzgerald and you kind of have to do it, but for the most part, I just don't agree with taking a receiver in the top 10. Like I say about football, obviously it's super system based, super dependent on the players you have around you. And the receiver is kind of like the final point of that whole process. Like, the line has to block for the quarterback who has to make a good decision and then get the ball to the receiver. And you shouldn't be building from the receiver in ever, in my opinion. It just doesn't work. And if you look at a lot of the top receivers in the league, they're guys who didn't go in the top 10 or didn't go in the first round at all. If you look at all the busts, there are numerous ones to point to.
Charles Rogers?
Yeah, I mean, it's anyone the Lions have drafted except for
Calvin Johnson.
But it's just a risky proposition, and the value to me, how important receivers are to your team, is not very. So I just don't like when teams take them in the first round.
Unless you're the Bucks, you just draft them.
And to me, you also, before even the wide receivers, need a good running game to draw people into the box so that they, you know, the wide receivers can get one-on-one matchups. And I think wide receiver might be one of the least important positions on the field.
I agree.
And you can get them. You can get good wide receivers later on. I mean, Marcus Colston's one of the best ones. He was drafted in the 7th round. And I mean, and that stuff happens more so at wide receiver than at quarterback or running back. You can find someone much later, and they become a good player just because they're in a system that all they have to do is run good routes and get open and catch the ball. That's all they've got to do. Instead of being this super amazing playmaker with all these skills who, no matter how many people are covering them, is going to be open. No, you just need everyone else to do their job, and then the wide receiver just has to get open.
Let me tell you a little story about a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that once made it to the NFC Championship game and lost to the greatest show on turf. That team's starting three receivers, Jaquez Green, Riddell Anthony, and of course the immortal Burt Emanuel. And Sean King was throwing the ball to these clowns, and that team made it to the NFC Championship game. You don't need receivers to to dominate. You know, you don't even necessarily need a great quarterback. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
Well, if you don't have a great quarterback, you better have a great defense.
And a good a good line and a great running game.
Who won the Super Bowl this year?
Who won the Super Bowl or the Sugar Bowl?
No, Super. The Super Bowl.
The Sugar Bowl.
That's a good question, Bob. No, the Saints. The Saints. The Colts lost.
Yeah,
to the Saints.
All right. The Saints.
Drew Brees. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just great wide receivers. None of them first rounders. None of them good first rounders. There's Robert
Drew
Meacham.
Brees was not a first rounder.
Meacham, I think, was a first rounder, but he's just now developing.
I think he was a second rounder.
Meacham?
He could have been first, but I'm pretty.
He's the only one I think.
I always confuse him with the other guy. With Earl Bennett. Robert Meacham and Earl Bennett came out the same time. They're Tennessee Vanderbilt, and I always confuse the two of them, so I could be getting them mixed up.
Robert Meacham, we're pulling up his info here. It would be wonderful to say when he went in the draft, wouldn't it, now?
You have to wiki him.
Yeah, awesome.
All right, I'll give my Reggie Nelson while you wiki Robert Meacham. My Reggie Nelson is going to go to all the Gators in the draft this year. I don't claim to be a Gators fan, and I don't like the NFL, watching the NFL draft in general. 27th? Yeah. Okay, I'm mixing them up again. I don't like watching the NFL draft in general, but there's a ton of Gators in the draft this year that I've been around, I've covered, guys who kind of have vested interest in seeing where they go. So to me, it's going to make the draft more interesting for me, probably for all Gators fans or people who, media types who've been around the team and stuff.
Yeah.
So for the large player pool, I'm going to give that my Reggie Nelson. And I'm going to spring a game on you guys last second here. So I'll go first in this, and I'll give you guys some time to think.
I'm nervous. We all just temporarily forgot who won the Super Bowl.
Okay,
quick thinking is.
I was thinking, whoever it was, they beat the Cardinals. Because I was thinking of the Steelers.
They beat the Cardinals.
Wait, I was right. The Saints did beat the Cardinals.
Give me.
Moving on.
Sure.
Not in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
In the playoffs.
Doesn't seem possible. All right. Give the listeners one player where he's slotted at, where you think he's going to be drafted at, he's going to be good. That's a good pick. This player, good job. Wherever he gets taken.
Gator or a...
No. Any player in the draft. Okay. And then the reverse of that. This guy, where he gets drafted, he's only going to burn you. Stay away from him.
All right. Eric Berry, and the good thing. I'll go ahead and start.
Go ahead.
Because I've got the one, and I don't think I've necessarily thought through the second one yet, but I already started talking, so... Definitely Eric Berry on the positive side. I think he's a top 10 guy, and God help the teams if they pass on him and he falls to 7-8.
Right.
He's going to be great. He's going to be Ed Reed-esque. So I really like him there. If you don't mind, I'm going to skip over here.
All right, well, I'll give my good one while we wait.
No, I can do it. I think C.J. Spiller.
Is the bad one?
He's being projected at the 10th. If he's not great, he's disappointing.
Right.
And I don't think he's going to be that great. I think he's going to certainly be good, but he's not going to be your every down, awesome, top 10 running back.
All right. My guy is C.J. Spiller for the can't miss.
Of course it is.
Good wherever you take him. C.J. Spiller, who I've been very critical of in the past, finally stepped up, had a huge monster year in college. He can do everything. He can run the ball. He can catch the ball. He can return it. He's Percy Harvin type version 2. He's ready to go. He's got too much speed. He's physical. I think he's going to have a huge NFL career. I think he can't miss. Even if you take him at number 10, it's not too high. Reach for the guy. He's going to be awesome. C.J. Spiller.
His knee's going to
explode. C.J. Spiller, everybody.
His knee is going to...
He's at 15. I'll be so torn if he's at 15, along with Rolando McClain, who's my guy, I think, is a can't miss. I love Rolando McClain. I think he fits in 3-4 or 4-3, and he's just a really good middle linebacker. I want McClain for the Giants, but if he's there and Spiller's there at 15, I'm very torn, because like I said, I hate Brandon Jacobs. I don't like Ahmad Bradshaw as an every down back. I would love C.J. Spiller. So if they're there, the Giants have to somehow figure out how to get the 16th pick as well. Spiller, so they can draft both.
Spiller's knee is going to explode within his first 3 years in the league. I feel like,
how dare you?
I love C.J. Spiller. I really do. Like, in college, I loved the guy. I think the expectations are going to be a bit too high on him. I think he's going to be a great kick returner. I think he's going to be a good, like, third down guy for his first couple years, and then he's going to develop into, like,
a good guy. I think he's going to be a cross between Percy Harvin, Brian Westbrook, and
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. All right, and then I need you guys to help me do research here. I need the offensive tackle from Maryland that's been shooting up the boards that's definitely going to bust. You can get an offensive tackle list.
Yeah, hold on.
His name's, I think, Bruce somebody, maybe?
Offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Maryland. Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell. Wow, I actually did know his name. I should have said
it.
He's real big. Bruce Campbell. All right, this is what I don't like. The guy's going to play offensive tackle for you. Now, you've all seen the offensive tackle. You know what they do, their job description. Yeah. They put a little hand on the ground. They pop up. They do a little blocking. They move a grand total of 7 yards, no more than 7 yards on each play, if that. But
what happens Bruce if Campbell, he has to pull and run 10 yards?
Okay, 10 yards. I'm sorry. Bruce Campbell had a very mediocre college career by all accounts. And then all of a sudden he gets out there and apparently he's a freak athlete. He can run real fast, jump real high. He moves, shifts his, moves directions quickly. And now everybody loves him. So wherever this guy goes is going to bust he's going to bust because I don't care. It's like the Josh Freeman thing. I don't care what Josh Freeman's vertical leap is.
Oh, he can jump real high.
Who cares? That's not a practical application for the quarterback position. So I don't care how fast Bruce Campbell can run the 40 because that's not what you do as an offensive tackle. So this guy is busting.
You know what I'm concerned about if I'm looking at him? An offensive lineman, somebody you want? Durability? In 2009, he missed 2 games. And then another with turf toe, and then another game with some sort of MCL injury. And then in 2008, he had minor brains. He's not playing a lot. This guy seems I don't know. He's elite. He's got elite measurables. That's his qualification.
Right.
You never draft a guy high and base that much on that. You draft on potential later. You don't blow the franchise on this guy's real tall. Right. And he's got big hands.
And runs real fast.
Yeah. He's got huge hands. Yeah.
And apparently he's not very dedicated because as intangibles. No, just his head coach, Ralph Regan, says Campbell will attend meetings but go to study hall when the team takes the field at the beginning of spring practices.
Maybe he's real smart.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know. My guy, it kills me. I want to give it to every single offensive tackle in this draft. Once again, our phone's ringing. 2 podcasts in a row.
That's the bat
phone. It's going to go to Devin McCourty from Rutgers, cornerback. He's shooting up the boards. They have him at the end of the first round, top second. And I can't remember a single time throughout his entire college career that I was happy with how he played at Rutgers. Hmm. He was always underachieved, seemed like he was never very good, but he's fast. And he has great catch-up speed. You know why he has great catch-up speed?
Because
he's always getting burnt. That's why he has great catch-up speed. And it's just, he's going to get drafted too high. So's Anthony Davis from Rutgers. It's not a good draft for Rutgers. Stay away from them. Don't do it. Sorry, Rutgers. Last year, good job, though. Mm.
Did you give a good guy?
Yeah. I mentioned it earlier. Rolando McClain. I love him.
Okay.
I think he's
going to be wherever he goes,
no matter where
he
goes, they're going. If you draft him in the top five, he's fine, I think.
Okay.
I love Sue and McCoy. Mostly Sue. Sue, way more than McCoy, actually, but I think McCoy's going to be good, too.
Gerald, not Colt.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Colt as well.
And
I don't like Colt.
Some news that I guess broke while we were here. Twitter tells me that
last time it was Ginn.
The Gators got a commitment today from Jeff Driskel, 2011
quarterback. That's what
he's supposedly
needed.
Real, real
that's
good.
That's the big one.
So,
wow.
Yeah, to bring up his rivals.
Like I said,
profile,
like we said last, we were discussing it. Urban was saying they need a quarterback in this draft, and Driskel was one of the top guys, so them getting him would be huge. And that doesn't seem to be a very good list.
No, it does not, apparently. How's
D R I S K E L, I think. Try that.
That was just today.
Jeff Driskel, right there. Click on him.
From Oviedo Haggerty.
Yes.
Yeah. Pro style.
A four star,
yeah.
Okay. So people think he's going to be good, whatever. He can still decommit. It's a long way away, but. Yeah. That's the news of the day, so I guess be happy if you're a Gators fan, right?
Yeah, sure.
We know nothing about
him. He's supposed to be at least better than what they've got besides Brantley. You know,
maybe he's better than Trey Burton and Chaz Henry.
Yeah, maybe not Chaz Henry.
Probably not Chaz Henry, actually. Yeah, a long way away to worry about him. That's it for this show. We have gone a whopping hour and 20 minutes here. We'll be back at some point at the end of this week to talk about everybody's favorite topic, gymnastics. The NCAA championships are in Gainesville. We're going to sort of wrap up those things. We'll probably talk a little bit about the NFL draft and what happened there, since it'll be over by the time we're podcasting. It's going to be a weird timing because the championships are when?
It starts Thursday. That's the first round. Then Super Six is on Friday. And then individual competition is on Saturday.
Right. So everything will be settled and done by Saturday. Might record Sunday, and that'll be our 99th show. And coming up after that is the 100th episode spectacular. Woo! And it's going to be a lot to look forward to. It's going to be our last show of the semester.
We need a soundboard. We really do.
We do. There will be tears. There will be laughter.
Mostly on Dale's part.
Oh, I might cry.
The timing of this really worked out.
It's incredible. It always does, though. Yeah. Did you notice our 50th episode extravaganza was the Tennessee preview, I want to say, which, like, went better to, like, go crazy having an extravaganza than when you're talking about Lane Kiffin. When our first
and get
show...
And linked on ESPN.
Right. And the first thing we ever talked about on our first show ever, Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. That's our 50th mm-hmm. show. So if Lane Kiffin can do something nuts for our 100th show, that would be wonderful. Really
that's
excited.
A big favor.
I mean, he owes us one, probably. Right.
And so, it's me and Phil's last podcast.
You and Phil's last podcast. Kyle, and Mike's last podcast, probably for the summer. I'll be kicking around, but we'll talk a lot about that in the 100th episode spectacular. Look forward to the gymnastics thing into this week. Send any feedback to podcast@alligator.org. You know what? If you get through this entire hour and 20 minutes, just send it. Just send an email saying, did it, like done, or did it, or something.
It's getting, our inbox has not been...
Our inbox is not overflowing. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be real with you.
You also have about a week to send someone a shirt, I think.
Oh. That is correct.
Forgot about their shirt at this point, Kyle.
The first person who sent us an email to the podcast@alligator.org address, we promised, and the first person who wasn't like friend of the show, Harrison Diamond, friend of the show, Evan Drexler, I believe we said we owed a shirt, and Mike McCall was supposed to get on that, but he didn't.
I was about to say, I feel as though I was promised a shirt as well, so that person gets a shirt, I want a shirt.
I think we all promised ourselves.
Can we just get these shirts made?
I really do want to get these shirts made. Maybe we should do that after we're done recording here. We get the shirts made. They're going to cost way too much money.
Yeah, they are.
But we'll do what we can. We'll send something.
At the time, it was like, oh, you'll get it by the 100th episode. That'll never come. Don't worry about it.
We'll be canceled before that, right?
We got about like $30 left over in the budget, so.
Just one shirt.
Yeah.
A shirt.
That's a tank top.
So we'll try to get on that. 40 to 60 minutes of relentless effort. We've gone now about 85 minutes of relentless effort, but don't worry about that. We'll try to get you the shirt. Send your feedback to podcast@alligator.org. Yelling at us about the shirts we didn't get you. Check back the end of this week. Thanks for listening.
End the show, Barry!